Welcome to the Live Like It's True podcast, where we look at some of the most interesting and astonishing stories of the Bible and ask, how can we live like this story is true? I'm your host, Shannon Popkin. I'm an author, a speaker, and a Bible teacher. And here on the podcast, I'm inviting you to drink deeply of the true story of the Bible and live like it's true. I'm so excited to tell you about my two new books launching this spring. And here in the podcast, I'll be hosting two series in correlation with each of these books. So first, we'll do the Sarah series, and we'll look at the life of Sarah in Genesis 12 through 21, which is the topic of my brand new Bible study, Shaped by God's Promises, Lessons from Sarah on Fear and Faith. I love this story of the Bible, and I can't wait to dive in with you, both in the pages of this new book and here on the podcast. My second book launching is Comparison Girl for Teens. So excited about this book, co-authored by my dear friend, Lee Nienhuis. We poured our hearts into this super fun and truth-packed resource that we know is going to help so many teens find freedom from the comparison trap. So here on the podcast, we'll be doing a comparison series, looking at how Jesus compared in a completely different way. I hope that every one of these amazing conversations will inspire you to better know the story, share the story, and live like the story is true. I'm back with part two of a conversation with Courtney Doctor here in the Sarah series, where we're talking about Genesis 12 through 21, the story of Sarah in the Bible. And so this is the first passage that we are taking a close look at in this story that's going to be unfolding. So let me just introduce Courtney in case you're not familiar with her. Courtney is a wife and a mom, an author and a Bible teacher, and director of women's initiatives at the Gospel Coalition, which reminds me that last time we talked about the conference, the Gospel Coalition Women's Conference coming up in June. We've got links in the show notes. We would love for you to be there with us. I'm going to be leading a breakout session on gospel thriving for teens in a world that compares. I'll be presenting there with my co-author Lee Nienhuis, and we would love to see you there. One more thing that Courtney and I talked about last time is she's just launching a brand new book, From Garden to Glory, How Understanding God's Story Changes Yours. And so in this book, Courtney gives an overview of the Bible from creation to new creation and the role that believers play. It was a fabulous part one of the conversation. So if you haven't listened to that one, please do go back. We talked about the surprise of the story is that God takes initiative. Abram and Sarai were not following God. They were a pagan couple, a childless couple, and God was the one who took initiative. He came to them with these magnificent promises. And so we're going to pick up the conversation today and talk more about those promises and the response of Abram and Sarai in faith. So let's talk a moment, though, about the magnitude of these promises. And, you know, you mentioned just briefly there that it almost feels like God is singling out this one little family. And we've talked about, like, why that would be surprising is that Abram hasn't done anything to get God's attention. So it's not like he's waving his arms like, look at me, I'm so awesome, right? God, you want to bless me, right? No, he's not even thinking about God or pursuing God. So I think my first thought is, well, we don't really know why, but God just picked this one family to bless for all eternity, you know, because these are eternal promises that are being given. Mm-hmm. But why is it interesting that he has other people in mind too?
Yeah, all the families of the earth, right? Like he takes this barren pagan couple and he's like, I'm going to make of you a great nation. The magnitude of the promises, like you said, is just huge. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I mean, what a thing to promise, right? Everybody in the whole world is going to be blessed through you. I mean, what? Like, it's just hard to comprehend. And the text doesn't give us all the details, right? We don't know how much Abram knew. We don't know, like, even what he was thinking. We just know, like, later in Genesis 22, we just know that he did it. He obeyed. He got up and he went. He started walking, like, literally started walking. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just says, like, all the possessions. They gathered them. I mean, this took just some kind of real practical obedience, right?
Yeah.
To get up, to pack, and to start walking. And, you know, was it the magnitude of what God was promising? I don't know. I mean, clearly the Spirit was at work, compelling Abram to obey. You know, when the new covenant is promised in Ezekiel, God says that he's going to, you know, remove our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. And then he says, and I will cause you to walk in my ways and keep my word. Like he's causing us to do those things. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful part of the new covenant. But he clearly was at work causing, allowing Abram to be able to obey and to follow. But yeah, it's just astounding that, and I think you're the one that said it, like that he took a barren couple, two people, and he promised nations, kings, as we go on in the story. You know, he promises descendants as numerous as the sands on the beach and the stars in the sky. And then when we know the story, you know, you're thinking, wow, I mean, is that ever going to happen?
Right.
And those incredible promises begin, all Abram and Sarah ever saw was Isaac. And so it's a pretty humbling thing to sit in the magnitude of the promises mm-hmm. and then realize how little Abram and Sarah actually saw.
Well, and I see a consistency with our experience too, with our faith, because so many of the things that we claim as the promises that belong to us, the people of God, we will not see in our lifetime, right?
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't, because they're too big to be contained in our lifetime. That's
right.
Abraham and Sarah, like God was promising, like you said, from a barren couple, mm-hmm. they'll become, you know, a nation, yeah. this numbering like the stars of the sky, like that, it's too big. It couldn't possibly happen in their mm-hmm. lifetime. And so they had to look beyond their own lifetime to embrace these promises.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So part of the astonishment is that God gave them such magnificent promises. But then also the other side of the surprise is they believed it, you know, and we know that they believed it because they walked. And so like, what is surprising, particularly for their culture? Like in our culture, mm-hmm. it's not unheard of to move to a different mm-hmm. state in the United States or even cross culturally to another country. But in theirs, this was different, right?
Yeah. I mean, the family unit was huge. And that's literally what he starts off with. Go from right. not just your country, not just your place, but your kindred and your father's house. I mean, it's the family unit. Like, walk away from that. And that was everything in the ancient world in really beautiful and significant ways. And so God wasn't just asking him to move next door or take a little trip. I mean, they would probably never see these people again.
Mm.
And so it was a high calling. It was a hard calling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was to walk away from everything.
Yes. Every semblance of security,
mm-hmm.
their country, their like the people who spoke their same language. Remember, the world has
right.
just been divided up. These are the yeah. only ones they can really talk to with, you know, mm-hmm. with perfect
right.
understanding. Like there's always a language barrier when you go to another country, and then just mm-hmm. the rest of their lives, they're going to live in tents. Tents are temporary. They're just never going to settle in. There's never going to be mm-hmm. a foundation under their feet other than sand. And yet they were looking beyond what could be contained in their lifetime. They're looking forward, which is
yeah.
just astounding. So I think, you know, both mm-hmm. sides of it are amazing. What God promised is amazing. Abram's
yeah.
faith is amazing.
Yeah.
And also that you and me are included in these promises. Like that he was thinking of us too, because we're part of, I mean, I'm not Jewish. Are you, Courtney?
I am not. No.
My husband's part Jewish, but
uh-huh.
like this is, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt. Verse 3. And mm-hmm. all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Like you just, mm-hmm. you already kind of hinted at this, but this would be like me saying, I am God's gift to everyone in the world. Like that's just,
right.
It's just like, right. a little awkward.
Right. right. The blessing of the world. But yeah. But through, and then we know, right? It's the descendant, it's the child, it's the promised one that was not Isaac, but that was still to come. And yeah, it's just, I just keep looking at the text, but it's just so beautiful.
It is. It is. So this book, Genesis, was written to not us, but to another group mm-hmm. of people in another point in history. It's written about 500 years later after mm-hmm. the story of Abram and Sarai. It's written to a group of their descendants who have now become a nation, and they were slaves in Egypt. They've escaped. They're now in the wilderness, and Moses is kind of writing for them their origin story. You know, like mm-hmm. the beginning of Genesis is how did the world come to be, like the origin of the world. But then this next part of the story is how did the Israelites, how did they come to be the people of God? This is their backstory. Mm-hmm. This is their roots. So putting ourselves in their shoes, you know, these wilder, mm-hmm. I call them the wildernites.
I love that.
The wildernites, because they're the Israelites in the wilderness. So putting ourselves mm-hmm. in the wildernites' shoes, like why was this mm-hmm. maybe different than what they would have thought of as their backstory? Can you mm-hmm. think of anything that would be surprising to them?
Yeah, I think that even the fact that it happened, right? Mm-hmm. That they're there, because the story could have been, and maybe even should have been, God made it, man broke it, the end, right?
Yeah.
Genesis 3 starts in Genesis 1, ends in Genesis 3. But we know in Genesis 3, God makes this promise, and we're looking for this promised offspring. And we very quickly see that it's not Cain or Abel or Seth or Noah. You know, we're working our way through all of these descendants, and none of them are the promised one. Mm-hmm. And then you see this new start, that you see the voice of the Lord, like, speak in the same way that he did in Genesis 1 and 2. And you know, creation story, right? Well, this is the creation, the beginning of his plan to go forward. And we start seeing that he's going to start with this one man. But the wildernites, I love that so much. The wildernites know that it's not just one man. It's not even one family anymore. This family group has, you know, they ended up in Egypt just a few generations after Abram because of a famine, and over 400 years, they've developed into this big group of people, but they're all descendants of Abram and his family. And God rescues them again. God takes the initiative, right? He goes to Egypt. He sends the plagues. He calls his people out. He sees them across the Red Sea and brings them to himself at the base of Mount Sinai. And there, that's when he establishes them as the nation of Israel in Exodus 19. And he says, you know, you're going to be my treasured possession. And for the purpose of the whole world, you're going to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And so we see him enter into covenant with this larger people group. But the fact that their story traces not just back to Abram, not just to Father Abraham, right? The song that we sing, mm-hmm. but then from that all the way back to the beginning, and what you can see to be true of God, that he is a God that continues to rescue. He is a God that continues to call. He is a God that continues to establish, and he's a God that continues to promise and to fulfill. I would imagine that the first readers, this would have been so many aha moments, right? So many just like, oh, this is what he's doing. And then to be rescued slaves, people that have been told their whole lives for 400 years that they have no value other than to serve Pharaoh. And then to be told that the God, the creator God, you're tracing him through the story, is the one that called Abram, and that he's the one that's going to bless them and make them great, so that, like, they have purpose, they have calling in this, mm-hmm. because their story is rooted in this call of Abram. Mm-hmm.
God's promises are like a set of parentheses. The first one is when he makes the promise. The second one is when he keeps it. And you never have one without the other. But often there's this long stretch between the two, much longer than we first imagined, right? That's what we see in Sarah's story, found in Genesis 12 through 21. God promised a son, but in this wide stretch between the parentheses, she wondered, would God keep his promises? Could he? I'm Shannon Popkin, inviting you to come find the answer to those questions, both for Sarah and yourself, in my brand new 6-week Bible study titled Shaped by God's Promises, Lessons from Sarah on Fear and Faith. Find out how you too can be shaped by God's promises in the waiting. So, from garden to glory, they're in this specific place in the timeline. And yeah, I wonder how much they had kind of lost track of their history. I mean, just think of America is about 250 years old. And I don't know that I totally have all of the passions that our founding fathers, like that's kind of lost on me. I feel like things have progressed, things have changed. And, you know, if I were to seat myself back in those meetings where they were trying to come up with our nation's founding, whatever principles, I might have some aha moments like, oh, that's what America was supposed to be. Right. And I imagine this is now over 400 years. And so to go back to the beginning and to understand that God had chosen them, but that this also was tied to that original promise in Genesis 3. Do you think that Abraham made that connection, that these promises, I mean, he doesn't know God, maybe as the story progresses, do you think he understood that when God says, you know, through you, all of the peoples of the earth will be blessed, that that blessing is tied to this? I've always wondered that. I don't know.
That's a great question. I don't know. Yeah, you know, we don't know how much he knew of God at this point. We know that the whole story is a progressive revelation, right? Yeah. We know that that we know more about God than Abram did. We do know that because God reveals himself. Like we now know he's a God who rescues slaves, that he's a God who takes on flesh. He's a God who suffers and dies. Like there's so much more we know about God than Abram knew. But so yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he knew.
Yeah.
But he believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. I mean, he simply believed. That could be a good word to us, that it's not the extent of our knowledge of God that saves us or sanctifies us. It is faith, which is a gift.
Yes.
And God gave it to Abraham, and he's given it to all of us who believe.
Yeah, I think that that is such a good word, because I know several people who have gone to seminary and lost their faith because they know so much, and yet they've lost the simplicity of me at 4 years old, of you, right, as a young person wrestling with these truths, but just throwing our hands up like, I don't understand how, but all I know is God is the one who's initiating here. He's making these promises that are so amazing. How could I not respond, right?
Yeah.
But Courtney, what if we took out all the covenants of the Bible? If those were not part of the Bible, what difference would that make? And so in a sense, I'm asking, why are they important?
Well, I do think the covenants are the things that kind of drive the story forward. So, you know, there's a covenant with Adam, and then a covenant with Noah, and then with Abraham, and then with Israel through Moses, and then with David, all preparing, right, for the new covenant, the final covenant. And so it drives the story forward because God's making promises. And like you said, they're promises that only God can keep. So we see that we have this promise-making and promise-keeping God. And at great cost to himself, he has pledged himself to be the one to uphold these promises. And so when we talk about resting in the word of God, we are talking about resting in his faithfulness, in his promises, and the fact that he has proven himself to be this promise making. Is it Numbers 19:25? You know, God is not man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Does he promise and not fulfill? Does he pledge and not act? I probably just botched that. But, you know, it's that idea that that's so essential to his nature, to be the God who speaks, and the God who promises, and the God who fulfills. And it's really the covenants that just put that on full, you know, on full display for us.
That's so good that the covenants, they're like movements, right? It's like the movement of a play. It's like the, you know, we have the tension, but this is what moves the story forward and moves us toward glory. And so talk just briefly about our place in the story. You know, God was promising some things to Abram that were specific to Abram and his family. How do we fit into this story? Because we're at a different place in the timeline of redemptive history. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, we are as believers, right? When we respond to Christ in faith and we're united to Christ, we're called children of Abraham, mm-hmm. that we're heirs of the promise, right? And so we have a place in this story and we are the ones that have been blessed, right, through Abram. When yes. when it says that all the families of the earth shall be blessed through you, Abram, we're the ones that received the blessing. We're the ones that, because we know that Christ is the fulfillment of that promise and that his blessings are for the whole world, right? People from every tribe, tongue, language, nation, and people. And we are those people. And so how do we enter in? Well, we know that that God calls in the same way, right? Mm-hmm. He called Abram and he calls us to go from and to go towards. He's always doing that. And so he calls us out of, Colossians tells us, the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his glorious son. And he calls us to walk away from, and you know, the New Testament is full of these lists of like, put off these mm-hmm. things or walk away from these things and then put on or walk into. So God's always, he's still doing that for us. He's calling us out of and he's calling us into. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the calling is costly. But I think that this is a piece of the puzzle of how we live on mission. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Abram had to trust God, even when it seemed like maybe God wasn't answering. As the story progresses, we're going to mm-hmm. see that Abram really doubted if God was going to be good to his word. Mm-hmm. I do think that all good gifts are from God. And so we mm-hmm. take those and we extend them as blessing to others. Yeah. That like Abraham, we should look to see what God is doing and follow him, mm-hmm. obey him. There are just things in this story that we can't take it in an isolated way because we're not Abram. Mm-hmm. And the call is not to us, but it's the same God. Yeah, and so yeah. there are similarities in how we live our life on mission. So we're not Abram. It is not through us that all the families of the earth would be blessed. We are the recipients of those promises. And yet we are like Abraham, called to leave, to go, to follow, and to be a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah. I always think it's so interesting in the New Testament, we really are dealing with a lot of abstract thoughts and ideas, like even faith or love mm-hmm. or calling. We talk mm-hmm. metaphorically about following God, but Jesus and the New Testament authors all pointed back to these stories with concrete.
I know.
Abram walked. He walked 1,000 miles. Like, this is a concrete story of an actual person making actual steps. And so mm-hmm. there are so many patterns in his life that do kind of help shape our idea of what faith is and how we do respond to God, who is the one true God. He is consistent throughout the whole story. And so I love how you talked about us living on mission, you know, so living on mission, I kind of think that's like living like it's true, right? Living like this story is true, which is the,
exactly.
you know, the name exactly. of this podcast. You know, you just said this idea of trust, not doubting, also blessing, like seeing ourselves as a conduit mm-hmm. of blessing. Everything we've received is not just for us. It's for the world, to share with the world mm-hmm. and to follow God in the same way. Like, we, maybe we're not walking 1,000 miles, but we are listening for God's instruction. Mm-hmm. And so all of these different ways are ways that we live like this story is true, that God is the one who makes the promise and that God is the one who will one day keep all of his promises. That's when we get to glory. We'll see the fulfillment. And so talk to someone, though, who is in a season of doubting, waiting, like the story is, they don't find themselves mm-hmm. in this story of God being right. the good keeper of promises. What words of encouragement would you have for that person to live like the story is true, even if they can't see it?
Right. Well, I mean, I think that's the story of Abraham and Sarah, right? They had to live this thing out when they didn't see even the slightest glimmer. And you see them doubt and you mm-hmm. see them falter. Mm-hmm. And so my encouragement would be, oh, don't let your doubts drive you from the Lord. Let your doubts drive you to the Lord.
Oh,
he can handle them, right? It's turn to him and wrestle through them. Be honest, be transparent. He already knows them. Abram is a great example of that. I mean, Abram faltered a lot in his life, mm-hmm. and yet he is counted as the father of our faith. It's a beautiful thing. And so if you're just waiting for the Lord to fulfill his promises, I think, you know, there's also the question of, is that something God has promised you? Mm-hmm. Are you appropriating the right promises to yourself? And the ones that we know to be true, you know, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will work all things together for the good of those who believe. He will finish the work that he started. I mean, these are promises that you can cling to and you can bank your whole life on those promises. Yes. But there are times, and I'm sure you've had them, I have certainly had them, that I have to drag my soul to the truth of those and cling to them with everything in me. And then over time, I think it's one of the my favorite things about getting older is because over time, I can say they're true. He's never left me or forsaken me. I can already see how he's taken some really hard things and used them for my good and helps me believe that he's going to do that with the rest of them. Yeah. There's a verse in Romans 8:32 where it says, he has already given us his son. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Yeah. And it's this argument of the greater to the lesser, mm-hmm. where God's already given us this greatest. That's where we live in the story. We don't live where Abram lived. We live knowing that God has already given us the greatest thing. And so how will he not also with him graciously give us all things that we need? Mm-hmm. And so those things cultivate trust. They cultivate faith, but we've got to do the hard work of clinging to the things that are ours to cling to.
Oh, so good. Yeah, I think you made a great point about let's not misappropriate promises that don't belong to us. There are some promises that belong to certain people at certain points in history, mm-hmm. Or belong to us in the future. And mm-hmm. in Shaped by God's Promises, I have a glossary of like, here are promises for here and now. Mm-hmm. Here are promises for there and then. Here are conditional promises. Because I think it's really helpful for us to kind of sort those out and not be claiming a promise that doesn't.
Yeah. He did not promise me descendants as numerous as the sands. I mean, he just didn't.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I heard about a woman speaking for a mom's group who encouraged the listeners to claim the promise of becoming a mother. Mm. We don't have that promise. Not every mm-hmm. woman will become a mother. Not every woman mm-hmm. will find a husband. Not every mm-hmm. woman will
have a happy marriage. The ones that are married. Yeah. I mean,
yes. There are so many things that we are not promised in the here and now. And yet those beautiful promises that you did call out is he will never leave us. He's working all things together for good. Like these are the things that we can hold on to and be shaped by. And so such a good word. Do you have maybe one last thought on how we can be women and men who are listening, people mm-hmm. who live like it's true that God is a promise-making God and a promise-keeping God?
I would just say that, you know, to know his word, it will be that sure foundation for your life, to know what is yours, because it's through knowing his word that you will know him. That is what we want. We want to know him. He is so worthy. He is so good. He is so kind. He is so faithful. He is so merciful. He is so forgiving. He is trustworthy and good. And we know that as we study his word and then experience him through the course of our lives. And so no matter where you are, if you're doubting, if you haven't responded to him yet, if you've been walking with him for years, continue to pursue knowing him. Mm-hmm. He's just worth it. All of it.
That's so good. And I love that you've helped us on that journey with From Garden to Glory. You know, it's a way for us to see this comprehensive view of our good God who makes and keeps promises. Mm-hmm. So Courtney, thank you so much for being with us and sharing all of this good truth with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Can I just remind you that each of these stories from the Bible is absolutely true? Rather than giving us a list of facts to memorize about himself, God gave us a book filled with stories. And each one helps us to know him and to understand this overarching story that we are all in. So I hope that you'll take some time looking at this story in your Bible. To help you study, I've put together my free Live Like It's True workbook, which includes my false narratives watch list, my story elements bookmark, and more. Live Like It's True is part of the Resound Podcast Network. For more gospel-centered resources, visit resoundmedia.cc. We've got that link for you, along with links to any of the other resources that we've mentioned in the show notes. Thanks so much for joining me. And now it's time to go live like it's true.